Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you today, Tuesday, September the 15th, 2020, halfway through the month of September, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. And this is going to be an interesting hour. By the way, phone lines are open. We had phone calls right up till the hour last hour. So if you have anything to say about what Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner, had to say, or anything else in general, please feel free to buzz in. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. Do want to remind you that coming up today here on WWGH Radio from 2:10 until 3 p.m., we have the Adam the Computer Guy Show. 4:10 to 5 p.m., we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims. And 5:10 to 6 p.m., we have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. So a full day of programming right here on WWGH Radio, and we look forward to that. Now, again, phone lines are open if you want to call in about anything. 740-383-9944. And remember, if the phone line's ever ringing busy, because we did have a lot of phone calls right up through the end of the last hour, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. 740-383-9944. Okay. Here's the anticipated mask story. And let me tell you this. I don't normally promote a story like this without telling the story. Usually I'll just put the story out on Facebook, or I'll type it out, and I might tell it on the air, but I do not promote it. Now, I have promoted this twice, because this story will show you just how, I want to say probably the right word is insane I am. This is the kind of life I lead, okay? This happened just last night. Now, only one person knows about this. Only one person has heard this story until now. So, everybody's going to hear it at the same time. Now, you think you have a problem with masks? Here's what happened. Okay, I live close to a particular store. It walking distance. Last night, I was meeting somebody, and I was just going to meet them at that particular store. So I thought the weather was nice. It was a very nice night. I thought, you know what? I'm going to walk over to the store, because there's something I need to get in that store, and then I'll just purchase it and then meet them in the parking lot. That's how I thought this would go. There would be no problem at all. I would leave my house. I would walk over to the store. I would go in the store. I would buy this item. I would meet the person, and all would be hunky-dory. That's what I thought would happen. Here's what really happened. Okay, I leave my house. Everything is good so far. I'm walking over to the store, and I get almost directly to the door of the store. The front door of the store. I get to the front door of the store, and I'm looking at people who are entering the store, and I realize they all have their masks on. Now, my mask is in my car. I keep my mask in my car on my rearview window, like so many other people. I don't have my car with me, because I walked to the store, and it never ran through my mind that I should have the mask. So I'm at the store, and I'm on very little time now, because I'm supposed to meet this person, and I'm thinking, I don't have time to run back home and get this mask. So what am I going to do? And I had never been faced with this through the whole COVID situation. Either I have remembered the mask, or I have had the mask with me, or I've had the car with me where I could just run back to the car and get the mask. This is not the case. So I'm standing there at the door thinking, how in the world am I going to pull this off? Because I know this store does not give you a mask if you don't have one. So, here's what I thought. You know, I'm trying to be ingenuitive here and get this done properly. So I think to myself, you know what? There is a restroom right inside the door, like in the lobby. Before you actually go into the store, you go in the front door, and there's actually a restroom right there. So I figure what I can do, because I'm only going to be in this store like 10 minutes. I have to get one item, and then I'm out. So I think to myself, what I can do is I can go into this lobby without the mask, go into the restroom, get a paper towel, put it over my face, hold my hand up there, and it kind of has the same purpose as a mask, well, at least for what I'm doing. So this is what I do. I go into the store, I go into the bathroom, and I'm going to get my paper towel because I'm going to beat the system here. Well, here's problem number one. I get into the restroom, and this is one of those restrooms that has no paper towels because they have the hand dryers. So no paper towels in the restroom. So now I'm in the lobby of the store, in the restroom, no paper towels. But I'm not going to be deterred. Oh no, you're not going to stop me. So I'm thinking, what in this bathroom could I put up as a mask to walk through the store so I can get the one item that I want to get and meet the person that I'm supposed to meet? So I know what you're thinking. Did he do what we think he did? I'm in the bathroom of the store, or restroom, whatever you want to call it. Yes, I did. I go into a stall, and they do have toilet paper. So, only I would tell this story on the air. I don't think anybody else would tell this story. So I go in, and this is a true story, true as true can get. Put me under oath. I go into the bathroom stall, and I get some toilet paper, and I fold it up to where I can put it over my mouth. So now I'm good to go. I have the toilet paper. I have it folded up. I have it over my face. White toilet paper. So I go into the store now, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get some looks because I've got toilet paper over my face with my hand on the toilet paper. So I go in, and I'm getting looks because people know now that I have toilet paper on my face. So I'm in the store, I've got toilet paper over my mouth, and nobody's saying anything. I'm just getting the looks. And I have to walk to the other end of the store to get the item that I need because the restroom side of the store is on the opposite end of the store, part of the store where I needed to get what I needed to get. So I'm walking down the aisle, but thinking to myself, even though these people are looking at me like I'm nuts, even though they clearly think I'm insane, I don't know these people. So this is not a big deal. And it's like 7 o'clock. So at 7 o'clock on a Monday night, there are not a whole lot of people in the store. So I get down to where I'm going, and I find the item that I need to buy. Well, there's like 4 or 5 different kinds of this item. So I'm just kind of looking at them, trying to find which one I should buy, and not really paying any attention to my circumstance anymore, or the fact that I have a piece of toilet paper over my mouth with my hand on it. So I'm thinking of what I need to buy here, and wouldn't you know it? And I'm not going to say the name because maybe they wouldn't want me to, but here come two people who I know very, very well. Well, let me put it to you. You know what? I'm going to say the name because they were there and I was there, and it's not bad for them. It's bad for me. It was George Kasotis. Here's George Kasotis in the store, who I have known for a long, long time. Now, George sees me and says hello. And I have a piece of toilet paper over my mouth with my hand over the toilet paper. So I feel the need to explain why I have a piece of toilet paper on my mouth. And I say to George, I forgot my mask, and I'm trying to improvise here, so I have this piece of toilet paper over my mouth. Now, George was very nice, very gracious, very kind, but I think George probably thought I was nuts. He probably thought I had lost my mind, because it's a scene. So I have this encounter with George, and as I say, he's very nice, but I'm pretty sure probably thought I was nuts. And I'm done now. I'm ready to get out of this store. I'm just going to get this item and get out. So I'm going to go to the self-checkout because I want to avoid people now. I do not even want a chance running in to any more people. So I go to the self-checkout, and now I realize this is going to be more difficult than I thought, because you have to hold, your hand is over the toilet paper holding it on your face. So that hand is incapacitated. You can't do anything else with that hand. Now, in a self-checkout, I've got to hold the item. I've got to run the item over the scanner. I've got to put the item in the bag. And then I've got to get my wallet out. I've got to get my debit card out. I've got to stick it in the machine. I've got to type in the number. I've got to pull it out. I've got to get the receipt. I've got to bag my item. That's hard to do with one hand. I have a whole new appreciation for people who can't use one of their hands, because I did not want this toilet paper to fall off. I didn't want the toilet paper to fall off for two reasons. Number one, I didn't want people to think that I was trying to not wear the mask. And the number two reason was I did not want people to really know that I had toilet paper over my face, so I'm trying to cover it as much as I can with my hand. So I finally get this stuff checked out. Finally get this stuff checked out that I'm buying, and I'm on the opposite side of the store now. So now I figure I'm home free. I just have to walk from the self-checkouts to the door, which is on the opposite side of the store. So I'm walking down the aisle. I've got the bag in one hand with the item that I had to get, and I've got my hand with toilet paper on my face, in the other hand. So I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm telling you, maybe it was just paranoia, but everybody who was at a checkout was looking at me like I had lost my mind. From the employees to the people who were checking out, why does that guy have toilet paper on his face? Why is he holding a bit of toilet paper on his face? So by the time I got out of that store, let me tell you, I was ready to get out of that store. Now that is the mask story. And the thing about that is so important to me, that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. That is a true story as true can be. There is nothing even embellished in that story. That is exactly what happened. So that's the mask story. Now I'm thinking to myself as I tell this story, is there anybody out there who's had even a similar experience? And what did you do? Did I do the wrong thing? Because in some way, I feel like I did the wrong thing. Does anybody have an opinion on this story at all and think that I really am just a moron at this particular point? That I really went over the deep end, unfortunately. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Have you ever had an issue with these masks during the situation of the COVID, of the pandemic, where anything like that even remotely happened? Because I thought I was making good decisions, to be honest with you. But now that I look back at it, I think I probably could have handled it better. I don't know what I could have done, because I had no mask. And frankly, at that point, I'm sure that, I don't know if they sell masks in that store or not, but I probably could have tried to buy a mask. But, you know, I don't want to buy a mask because I've got like 18,000 of these things now. And to me, that's just against... I just didn't want to buy another mask. So any opinions on this about how I've clearly lost my mind, or have you had a situation with a mask? Either way, you can call in and tell me I've lost my mind, because I think I've lost my mind at this point after dealing with that story. 740-383-9944. After living that story is really what happened. 740-383-9944. Now, I'm getting a message here. Why didn't you just wait outside? Well, because I wanted to get the item. I couldn't wait outside. I had to go in and get the item. That's why I couldn't. Because I knew that I was paying for the item. So I couldn't just wait outside. And I just did not have time to run back and get a mask where I lived. So it's a whole thing. But that's the mask story. 740-383-9944. Any comments, questions, concerns on that, or anything else on your mind? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can certainly hash this one out. Because what would you have done? That's what I really want to know. What would you have done in that situation, just as I described it? Because I think I did the right thing, although I have second thoughts now. How would you have handled it? Would you have just said, forget it, I'm not going in? I mean, what would you have done? Let's hear what somebody else would have done. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Quite an experience you have.
Oh, it was.
With all of us, yes. I have a question. Could you tell me or where I would find out? It's really not a big deal, one way or the other. How is Canada handling this virus? Is their numbers high like ours? Is they, you know, they're just across the line. Do you know anything about that?
Well, you know, I have heard reports on different news outlets, and I think I've seen things on the internet. It's my understanding that they are handling it better. That I don't exactly know why. I don't know if they went to masks earlier, but it's my understanding that they're handling it better. Their numbers are better than ours are.
Well, because I haven't, I just thought about that. Well, actually, there was a little article in the paper. They had, this lady had written, I guess she wrote a book, but anyway, she was saying, you know, that she was at a swimming pool, I'm thinking, and she says, all Canadians out of the pool, and everybody just left. All Americans out of the pool, and they questioned her.
Well, that's the interesting thing, and I think that's why, to a certain degree, other countries do have better numbers. I'm not sure why we as Americans have been so obstinate about this thing.
Because we don't want to be told anything.
Well, maybe it is. And I don't know what living in this part of the world, I don't know what gives us that mindset.
Well, I don't know. I think we've had it all maybe too easy, too long. You know, you just, if you want it, you got it. But I was just thinking about that after I read that little article. I thought, well, does Canada have the, I mean, they're not that far away. And they obviously don't want us up there. But is Canada have as much of a problem as what we have, or do they mind their leaders?
Well, it's my understanding, yes, that they have handled it better. I think their numbers are much lower, which, again, it's strange because we have Mexico, which touches us on the southern border, and we have Canada, which touches us on the northern border. And I don't think that the cases, and if somebody wants to correct me, they can, I don't think that they have as bad a problem as we do. And, you know, there's a big question right now. Could this have been handled different? And
it's too late for that.
It's too late, but it makes me think, when we look at Mexico and we look at Canada, and all that separates us is an imaginary line, maybe it could have been handled different. I don't know.
Maybe they respect their leader, possibly, kind of like England. You know, you see how they all get, and I'm sure there's catches there too, but we don't want anyone to tell us what to do.
No, and I'm very surprised, much like global warming and things like that, I'm very surprised at how this became a political event.
Well, what if it hadn't been election year?
Right, and that's what I wonder. Is it all because it's election year that this became political? I don't know. I'm still confused because I started to hear this a couple months ago, that the day after the election this is all going to be gone, and clearly it's not. But I don't understand where that came from, where that mindset came from.
Well, it's like everything. Everybody wants to grab a hold of a little bit of gossip, whatever you want to say, and roll with it instead of saying, oh, that can't be. And I'm pretty sure if you had the virus, you aren't really worrying about the election.
No, and that's what's weird to me about it, is that much like global warming, you know, whether or not you believe or not, it's shocking to me that it seems to have to do with your political party. Because my guess would be is maybe you would talk to a scientist and see what they think, and it wouldn't have anything to do with how you vote. And that's why I don't understand how this pandemic has become how do you vote on if you believe in it or not.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the American people do not want to be told what to do.
Well, you know, that's
bottom line.
And you know the bad thing about that is when this all started, I remember coming on this show when they shut down everything and saying, you know, people now know what the problem is. If they want to go out, you know, it's at their own risk. If businesses want to open up, it's at their own risk. And I think people will stay home because they are aware of the problem. But you know what? When they opened everything back up, people went out in droves. They acted like it wasn't there. And our numbers skyrocketed in July. And then what do people say to that? They say, well, those numbers are inflated. They're all fake.
Yeah, they'll go away on election day or the day after.
I don't know. You know, it's very easy to say to anything, to any argument, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, why would anybody be lying about that? What is the you know, people are dead. We know this. We've seen the faces. We know who they are. We've had people die in Marion. I mean, I would think if you're a relative of somebody at the prison, or if you're a relative of just a person who has died, or if you're a relative of a senior citizen who died at community when they had their outbreak, I bet you don't think it's political.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It's very strange.
Yeah. It is very strange, but I was curious about Canada. You know, maybe we need a stronger leader or something, but I don't know how you'd find one, a pig and a poke, huh?
it's a different day, that's for sure.
It's a different. Hey, thanks, Scott.
Thanks for calling.
Enjoy your program.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open if you'd like to weigh in, too. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Phone lines are open, and remember, if the phone lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling in. 36 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. I don't understand it to a great degree, and I don't have anybody who's had the illness in my family, but I don't understand a lot of this, to be honest. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, couldn't you just use the excuse that you had a medical issue and wasn't breathing so good that day and just not worry about it?
Oh, at the store? You know,
yeah.
I'll tell you what was interesting, what I left out of that story is once I finally entered the store and I had the toilet paper on my face, like within a minute, I ran into somebody who did not have a mask on.
Right.
And I thought, well, do they even question you? Because I'm not sure how that works. Do I stop and tell the person, the greeter? Do I say, I have a medical issue? Do I just walk past them and they're not going to say anything to me? I wasn't sure how that all worked.
Right. I understand. You know, I went to Dukes and Duchess out by Bob Evans yesterday. And behind the counter, there was two people. Either one had a mask. And there was no more signs on either door either to say anything even about a mask. I mean, I made sure I looked. I still wore mine, but I found that odd.
Well, you know what it was with me? To be honest with you, what my fear was that I do want to respect other people if sure. they feel. And I thought, I got to have something over my mouth, because I don't right. want to go in the store and lie to anybody if I'm questioned.
I understand. I wouldn't either. I've never used that medical excuse either.
Right.
But.
Right, and I also thought that, you know, I'm only going to be in here for 10 minutes. If I was going to be in there for an extended shopping period, I don't think I would have done that.
Right.
But I just thought, if I can get in and out of here, but you know what? I really do question why stores don't offer masks. Maybe that's why they don't stop people.
I agree. It comes down, it's all about money, what it is.
Unfortunately, when I think that when it comes to masks, it might be financial, because well, you know what though, I'm guessing the reason they probably don't is because stores get a lot of traffic every day, and if people knew that they were giving out masks, nobody would show up with any.
That's true. That's true. Take advantage of the system. Now, in my car, I keep a packet of five masks in my glove compartment.
Well, and that's the thing for me. I have one hanging on the rearview mirror so I can see it when I
right.
so I hopefully I catch it before I go in. But I do have a box. Yep, and I do have a box of them in the back seat, so I have plenty of them. It's just when I walked over there, you know, it's not ingrained in me yet, so it never dawned on me that I was going to need one to go in.
You know, and like you said, you try to respect others, but it's also I felt because I forgot to wear it, had to go back to the car and get it. I felt embarrassed too. Everybody had them. I didn't. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. And that's how I would have felt. Because honestly,
right.
the norm now is to have them on. And if I'm in the store and don't have them on, and every employee's got them, and every shopper's got them, you do kind of feel odd. Like I said, I ran into George Kasotis.
Right.
He had one on. You know, he's 87, 88 years old now. He had his mask on. I would have felt awful to run into George, who obviously is more susceptible to this just because of age, and have him see me with no mask on, and here he's got his on.
Yep. And I got one more question, speaking of George, and I've been thinking of this.
Sure.
Since Charlie's passed away, I haven't heard George on the radio. And I love hearing his restaurant stories and, you know, the things that he cooked. And is he ever going to be back on the air again, or is that probably something that's done?
Well, you know, I really don't know, because timing's very strange, and Charlie became ill right as this pandemic started. He didn't have the pandemic. He just, unfortunately, he got ill, I think, the week before it all started. So George did not come in. I don't think George has been in since it started.
And I just like hearing his stories.
Yeah, no, I George is always welcome, and Glenn might have him on, because I know Glenn has brought James Anderson and Fred Malone on.
It was always fun with George and Charlie. Now, like I said, I like listening to George. It definitely would be different without not having Charlie talking to him, interviewing him.
Right. Well, I think George will be back. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, so do I. Well, hey, I thank you for calling.
All right. Take care, Scott. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, 41 minutes past the hour. If you have any opinions on anything, give us a call. And again, if the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. We've had great participation this morning, and I appreciate that. I think it's fun to open up the phone lines and hear what's on other people's mind. So if you have anything to say about my mask experience, or if you've had a mask experience of your own, or anything else going on in your life at this particular time, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Isn't it interesting, though, that when you go in to a store now that you feel like the odd person out if you don't have a mask on? Who would have ever thought that? Who would have ever thought that that is where we would have progressed to? But that's life in 2020. I guess that's just the way it goes. Let's see. What else was on the agenda here this morning? We did the mask story. Well, let's take the phone call here, and then we'll come back with more. Go ahead, caller.
Scott.
Yes.
How'd you feel if you walked in the store and you only wanted to have a mask on?
I know. I think you feel the same way. Kind of a different complex.
Yeah, we've been doing some work around the house. We've been going to stores, and we noticed some of them are taking the glasses down around the cash registers, and all the people just walk in the door didn't have masks on. And we walked in, well, we walked back out because, I mean, they had like 20 people, 25 people. Nobody had a mask, but the cashiers and them in the stores, they had them, they were just sitting up there behind the glass. And then I said, it was crazy. It's just like, I mean, the signs are on the door. One of the signs says, do not enter unless you have a mask. But they just walking right in and right back out or whatever, doing their business, and didn't even have one. And then, of course, we have, you know, these businesses in town that are supposed to wear a mask, I guess, when they wait on you.
Well, it's interesting because there have been three waves of this, and the waves have been funny because in the beginning they said, you know, you should wear a mask, but it wasn't mandated. So you had a very, I'm going to say maybe 10% of people were wearing them, and then the employees had to start wearing them. And pretty much that just affected the employees. It didn't affect anybody else. It was still about 10% of people from the outside, but all the employees had them on. And then now we've gotten into this point where everybody is supposed to have them on. But like I say, when I walked in last night, within probably a minute of being in, I saw a guy, and he was probably in his 40s or 50s, who did not have a mask on. Now, you know, I don't even know if they really stop you. They probably would not have stopped me because it's not a law. I don't know what the rule on that is internally in a store because I don't even know how you would prove if you had a respiratory problem if they did stop you.
Yeah, I just got a nephew who just came out of the COVID care.
Oh.
And he's like 56, I believe, or 53. And if people get this, they'll be sorry because they say his lungs is like cotton candy and he has a face sort of having heart attacks and his blood pressure shot way up in the sky. And, I mean, it was just, if somebody, you know, he's in the, just got out. And I said, if anybody ever gets this, and they'll be sorry that they didn't want to try to help it.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, I think that's the big long discussion of this is hopefully we don't get it. That's the goal of it. But why are people denying the existence of it? Because I think that's the dangerous part of it, is if you deny the existence and you do reckless things, you not only endanger yourself, you endanger other people.
Yeah, they you know, I was surprised when we seen this, you know, and we didn't even stay in when they come in. I mean, they just absolutely just walked right through them, one after the other, going in and out. And so we went to another one, and it was the same identical way. But the signs are on the door. Just said, do not enter unless you have a mask. And then, of course, you know the one business in town that we lived over the weekend, and there was like hundreds and hundreds of people. They took all the side streets, the parking lot where the shops were down, the cars were parked there and stuff. And these people on top of people, and I bet it wasn't even 10 masks in the crowd and, like, security and whatever you want to call them, it stands out there. They just stand there and look at you like, we pulled up and looked up in there, and I said, my God, look at that. And they're on top, shoulder to shoulder, arm around arms. And I said, no, hardly anybody had a mask on. I said, you know, if Marion gets it, there's got to be some come out of that place there, so.
Well, and I'll tell you, I don't know what it is. I'm still trying to figure out, is it obstinance? Is it just to say, well, we don't have to do this? Is it that nobody here cares? I'm still trying to figure out what the purpose is, because, you know, I've never had it, and I'm not in the risk category to get it, but I can't say that I've ever went into a store without one on, because I think it's about the other person. It's not about me.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I wear mine everywhere. Because, like you say, you got yours on the visor like we carry ours.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing because as all things in life are, if you want to do it to yourself, if you want to put yourself at risk, that's your business. But I don't know why you would want to put somebody else at risk, because we know this is a viral illness. You know, I don't think if you had the flu that you would go into the store hacking and coughing on people.
Mm-hmm. We had that in one store with this lady, you know, she didn't have one. I told my wife, I said, this is terrible. And I said, she stands the cashier and she just hacking, coughing and everything. And she said, I got to quit smoking.
Well,
but anyways, I wanted to tell that because I said I couldn't believe how things have been. You know, they kind of just more or less let their guard down, just let it go. But I was really surprised when I seen the store taking the glasses down, you know, and people now are going in and they're not wearing masks. And beforehand, they all wore a mask and went in. And now you go down there, and it's just like, well, just open up the door, and they go in, no mask or anything. It's just really surprising, like they just, you know, gave up on the thing or what, and let their guard down. And people just, like I say, one after the other, no mask anymore that I've seen. So, and like I say, these two places that I went to, and the girls had theirs on in the cashier, but then I thought most of these, like your Dairy Queens or whatever, is supposed to have masks or gloves even, but no, they've got so certain ones that they've just not even done it either. And I said, well, they're not going to, you know, I'm not letting them handle mine because you don't know what they're coughing or anything inside that place, so I'm not going back. So.
No, and I think, you know, in a month is usually what it takes for us to figure out what's happening. And with schools back in and with sports being played and with people getting a little lax in this stuff and people also spending more time inside because it's getting cooler outside, I don't know what those numbers are going to show in a month because it usually takes about a month to be reflected.
Right.
So I guess we'll all find out.
I guess I better get off there in case somebody else wants to call me, but I just wanted to tell you on that part. I couldn't believe, like, you know, they just quit wearing them and let their guard down, and they're just like, you know, I don't have to, or I've got, you know, I'm immune to it, or whatever it is.
Yep. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
Okay, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, and again, we appreciate the call volume this morning, and remember, we have the line here, so if the phone is ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. It is an interesting mentality when it comes to the masks. You know, I really wonder if somebody got sick who did not believe that was going to get sick. If you really didn't believe that you were going to get sick and you got sick with it, would you regret it? I think it would be human nature for you to regret it, but would you? I don't know. People seem to have the idea that if I get it, it's my body, it's my fault. So I don't know. I mean, the disease, from what I've heard, talking to people who've had it, like David, who was in here last week, it sounds horrible, and it sounds like it has lasting impact that goes on and on and on and on, and I'm not sure why anybody would want to get that. I don't know. Nobody wants to get the flu. I mean, I've been in stores when people have sneezed during flu season, and it'll clear out an aisle. People will run the opposite direction. They don't want to be sneezed on because they're afraid of getting the flu and they're afraid that person is sick. I'm not sure what has happened with this particular illness that has caused that whole thing to kind of do a 180. Very strange. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you want to talk about this or anything else on your mind at this particular point. We would be glad to hear it. All right, let's see here. Well, we did the thing with the masks this morning. Oh, I know what I wanted to mention, because I posted this on Facebook this morning. 35 years ago today, 35 years ago today, can you believe it's been that long, the very popular Golden Girls television series debuted on NBC television. And I had the pleasure over the years, and I know people still watch this to this day, I had the pleasure to interview three of the four, Bea Arthur, Betty White, and Rue McClanahan. Now, I got to interview Bea Arthur and Betty White in person, and, well, you know, we're getting some messages here on Facebook, which are always interesting, and some people are saying they're completely over this. Well, I don't know. Over wearing the mask or over the illness in general or over worrying about it, it has been a long haul. I mean, we're about to head into month number 7 here, I think, of this, and it doesn't look like there's an end in sight. And from what my understanding is, the report that I saw from Dr. Fauci was that we probably won't get back to normal until late 2021, so we're looking at almost a year from now before things get back to complete normalcy. So, you know, I don't know. It's different. I think I think people just have to make their best decisions when it comes to this. But if you have an opinion, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But as I was saying, 35 years ago, the Golden Girls premiered on NBC. And I got a chance to interview three of the four, all of them but Estelle Getty. And I got the chance to interview Bea Arthur and Betty White in person. Now, Betty White was great, and so was Bea Arthur. But I'll always have a moment that I remember with Bea Arthur. A good moment and a funny moment. Now, the good moment with Bea Arthur was we were taking a picture because we had done the interview with her. I had done the interview with her. And, of course, people want to get a picture with her. Golden Girls was very popular at that time. So we're getting a picture with Bea Arthur. And it's Bea Arthur, so everybody's kind of nervous to get especially close to her. So we're just, you know, taking a picture, and nobody wants to, you know, get on top of each other to take this picture. Well, the guy, who I think was her piano player, is who was taking the picture. And he's over there, and he's trying to take the picture, and apparently he cannot get everybody in the shot, who because we're all standing so far apart from each other. So what I remember is he said, well, I can't get everybody in the shot. Everybody needs to get a little bit closer. And everybody kind of got closer, but not very close. And the cameraman said again, he said, well, you know, you got to get a little closer, you know, really tighten up over there. And Bea Arthur, who was standing in the middle, I remember grabbed I was on one side of her, and there was somebody on the other, and she grabbed us by the back and pulled us close to her. And I thought, what a nice woman. And she really was. People see her as this very tough, tall, in-charge type of woman. She really wasn't like that off the camera, off the stage. She was just a kind, grandmotherly type of woman. And I remember that moment. And the other moment I remember, we were doing an interview on stage. And she was involved because she was I don't know if she was a member of PETA, but she certainly helped out with many of their causes. I don't think she was a member, but I know she helped out with the causes. So I'm interviewing Bea Arthur on a stage somewhere up in Michigan. And I was talking to her because at that time there was a big campaign that PETA was having against KFC, the chicken place, because of how they killed their chickens. And so I'm talking to Bea Arthur about this whole chicken episode that's going on at KFC. And she starts to go through about how you don't have to kill the chickens inhumanely. There's a humane way to do it, but KFC is not doing it the humane way. And she was also talking about other dishes on their menu that were prepared wrong and were not particularly nice to animals. So she's going through all of this, and I thought when she finished that I would, it wasn't really a whisper, but I thought I would pretend to whisper, don't eat the chicken. That's what I thought I was going to whisper. And that's what I did whisper. I leaned into the microphone and I said, don't eat the chicken. And she got this horrified look on her face. I'm looking right at Bea Arthur, and she's got this horrified look on her face. And I'm thinking, what? She's against this. What did I say that was so awful? She grabbed her chest. I remember she grabbed her chest, too. I thought it was going to give the poor lady a heart attack. And she leaned back in her chair, and she said, don't eat chicken. And I said, oh, no, don't eat the chicken at KFC until they prepare it properly. And she said, oh. She said, I thought you said you don't eat chicken. So apparently that just would. So this is why I don't think Bea Arthur was a full member of PETA, because the fact that I didn't eat chicken or that I would tell people not to eat chicken was just enough to give her a heart attack. So that's the other Bea Arthur story that I have that was very interesting. Now, the only thing I remember about Betty White, the only Betty White story I have, is I took somebody with me to do the interview with Betty White. And they were a big, big Golden Girls fan and a big, big Betty White fan. And we interviewed her in a ballroom. I think it was in Cincinnati. So we go into this ballroom, and there's Betty White. Matter of fact, that was a great night. They were honoring Joe Nuxall and Betty White. And it was a funny night because if you know Joe Nuxall, legendary baseball player and baseball announcer for the Reds, and I think he was still announcing for them then, Joe came up to me at one point and asked me where the bathroom was. You know, that was Joe. That was Joe Nuxall. And then he was looking for his wife. He couldn't find his wife. But back to Betty White here with 2 minutes left in the show. I'm with this person, and we're going in to meet Betty White. And the person, as we get closer to her, is getting more and more anxious, more and more nervous, more and more starstruck to meet Betty White. So we finally get over to Betty White. And I say, Betty, it's so great to meet you. I had interviewed her on the phone before, but this was the first time in person. And I said, Betty, it's so great to meet you. This is great. I look forward to this. And then we ended up taking a picture together. Well, the person with me is just frozen with fear. I remember, frozen with fear. So after I get done with my introduction to Betty White, I said, oh, and this is such and such, and you know, he's here with me. And I think what happened, I to this day still really don't know what happened, but I think in his mind, he did not know what to say to her. So the first thing that came in his mind is what he said to Betty White. And he says to her, she says, well, nice to meet you. And he says, boy, you look nice. Boy, you look nice. And Betty White, without skipping a beat, says, don't sound so surprised to say that. And that's Betty White. That's the Betty White story I have for you. But both very nice ladies, both Betty White still with us and B. Arthur gone, I think about 10 years ago now. But great ladies, nice ladies, good interviews, and I thank them for that. And this is the 35th anniversary of Golden Girls premiering. How about that? Well, we're out of time today. Don't forget, Adam the Computer Guy today, 2 to 3, Voice of a People, 4 to 5, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5 to 6. For this day, this is Scott Spears, heading for the dugout, looking for Joe Nuxall and his wife at the bathroom. Station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is I want to see all rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like